I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead. Westworld. No, that's the West Wing. Westworld. There we go. There have been many podcasts which seek to analyze the complexities, the depth, the plot lines, the hidden story arcs, the beauty of these productions. Quite simply, the world doesn't need another one, which is why we're applying that level of discussion to the bottom of the televisual barrel and scraping it with a weekly celebration of The One Show.
Welcome, here we are then with another hit of televisual smack in the form of The One Show. Slipping the soft stuff into your ears from a wrap of podcast. A podcast that walks behind BBC One's flagship magazine programme, kicking its leg to try to make it fall over. It's The One Show Show. I am John Holmes. And once again, we're here to guide you through a week's worth of it all, picking at it like a parent with the remains of the food on their child's dinner plate on the way to the sink. This week, then, the angry faces of the people of Birmingham, some children vanish, and Anita Dobson's disappointing goodie bag. Joining me this week to pull the One Show's pigtails, but only because we secretly fancy it, is regular The One Show Show Shogun and man Mark Haynes, and film critic and broadcaster, and also man Jamie East. Hello, Jamie East. So, first question, as always, have you ever seen The One Show before we forced you to watch it for this?
It's a bit like Scientology, where it's always in your peripheral vision, but you're slightly scared of it and don't really want to know anymore. So I'd not watched it kind of actually staring directly at the screen before, yeah. If that makes any sense.
Yeah,
it's always been on.
It's always like a ghost, in almost hovering.
And you forget how long it's been on.
And it's hard to remember what used to be on before The One Show was on.
Nothing.
What did they have on BBC One?
Pebble, no, not
me. Was it just sort of a black screen, which was better?
It was a man sitting in a suit doing pottery in silence. Yeah. It's been going for so long. Yeah. It's become, I don't know, it's become one of those things that you're no longer angry about. Because it's just hard to remember
there's
a time
there's
when it
no
wasn't
point
there.
In being angry at it because
it doesn't work. We've proved that
it doesn't work. You don't really know who it serves. It serves no one but the BBC.
Yeah,
but it's kind of just there, and it keeps many people employed. So I mean, but apart from that, I'm not sure it entertains anyone. The one thing I did notice from watching the past 3 days, like studiously, kind of like watching it,
yeah,
is that no one is having fun.
No.
Well, no. Matt Baker, I think, probably genuinely is. Because
it's
that's what is his...
He's very passive-aggressive.
He really is, isn't he?
Yeah.
Should we start with Monday? Because we've all seen Monday.
Yeah,
right.
So
this was the one with Jessica Hines and Anita Dobson.
Knockout guests.
Hello to a couple of knockout guests. Hello to Jessica Hines and Anita Dobson.
Hi-ya. Ho-ho.
Because they've done a boxing film.
Sing. I'll save that one for the show reel.
Oh. And he did ask the first question Matt said to it. He said, they showed a clip, didn't they, of her doing the boxing.
Yeah.
And he said, how'd you get yourself riled up? And she just, it was a burn from Hines.
Wasn't
she
it?
She just went, well, it's acting.
How hard is it to fire yourself up like that, Jessica?
Well, I kind of I mean, it's acting.
That completely threw what was clearly the next three questions on his card, which was just like, well, she's just going to say the same thing for that.
Thank God we've got the question to Anita Dobson about what the Oscar bag is like, because otherwise this section would have been absolutely fucked.
Well, they couldn't ask her about Leslie Grantham, could they?
Which is disappointing in many ways. I want her take on what happened to Leslie Grantham in a way.
You know, talking about what used to be on, we used to have Wogan was on. That was, you know, and true. I think that predates the actual start of the One Show by quite a bit. But had you had Wogan, which I remember being on and hating, it was boring.
And so cosy.
Yeah, and for every sort of David Icke episode that you'd get, you'd have 7 years of bad shows. Yeah. But if it was Wogan and they'd had Anita Dobson on, he wouldn't have asked her about this non-existent fucking goodie bag from the Oscars that she didn't get.
Yeah.
He would have asked him about Leslie Grantham.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the change. True. That's the thing that's frustrating about The One Show, is that they have the platform, but they don't use it.
That's right. There's many instances of that this week, actually. There was something about... What were they talking about? When they had the guests from Shazam, the new superhero film.
Zachary Levi that's and right. Mark Strong.
Exactly that. And they touched upon the fact that he's called Shazam and not Captain Marvel.
Yeah, which was a huge legal kind of row.
Didn't even mention the huge story as to why he's not Captain Marvel anymore. Yeah. Which is kind of the meat of it.
Yeah.
Entirely. And they just.
That's because they had a feature
there.
To get to, which was talking about parsnip leggings. I mean, priorities.
What did you make of parsnip leggings?
It was just extraordinary.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just. They go through this thing, and it was true or false. Is this a real superhero, or is it a false superhero?
Hero or zero.
So hero or zero, that was it.
Alex really explained the rules of this for far too long.
Yeah, and she went, but it's basically true or false.
Now, Mark, as you said before, you weren't aware of Shazam in the past, so we're going to test your knowledge now of other superheroes. So we're going to describe some of them here, just like Shazam, some are genuine comic book creations lost in the midst of time.
Yeah, but lots of them we've made up, you see.
Oh,
So basically, we're going to play this game we're calling Hero or Zero, like true or false, all right?
Okay,
audience are going to help you out. They're ready with their
balls. Oh, look at that.
We got it. And the first two were clearly superheroes. I mean, just abundantly superheroes.
Red B,
although his sidekick was called Michael the Bumblebee.
Yeah, that's right, which was a bit of a curve.
Mike the Bumblebee.
Also, didn't the BBC's in-house computer company were called Red B or something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Wasn't that right?
Exactly.
So I thought it was. I thought they just got it from that. But no, Red B, you're right.
So is that. And then all of a sudden, Veggie Man came in. And it was just like, oh, fuck off.
An aubergine-coloured top here with parsnip leggings. We've got a defence mechanism of a magic carrot club. Sidekick of Sprout Boy. Bearing in mind, lots of superheroes have been used to encourage children to eat the right food.
Spanner in the works.
Wouldn't be great if she were real.
You're both going zero. And we've got a few heroes, but majority zero, I think, in the studio. Let's find out. Are you real?
Don't be.
No, she's not.
Hey!
If the BBC could have designed a superhero, it would have been Veggie Man in a wheelchair.
Yeah, it was Veggie. It was with his sidekick.
No, actually, I tell a lie, because the next one after that was Arm Fell Off Man.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Which they didn't have time to get to.
Yes,
but
amazing.
They explained it.
And then she said, oh, yeah, but actually, hero. So it's real.
Have we got any more time? No. It's a shame. Arm fall off boy, we'll never know, was he a hero or a zero?
Let's put them out of the misery and say yes, he was real.
He was a hero.
Arm fell off man. I thought Red B and Mike the Bumblebee was shit.
Fell off man.
I thought she just made a mistake and it was Fallout Boy, you know, from The Simpsons, who named the band and so on and so forth. But no.
Oh, dear.
And all I was thinking was Sprout Boy was Veggie Girl Man's genderless, probably. It's the BBC.
Awful.
I think that's Matt, isn't it? What could be more ridiculous? Than a hero that just eats vegetables, you know.
Well, a farmer. They also didn't mention nicotine. Do you remember nicotine from our
Superman's anti-smoking campaign?
Yeah, that's right.
It was wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great hat. He had a top hat shaped like a fag.
He did. Yeah. Yeah. Do you know? Even as a kid, I remember being in like a doctor's surgery, and they had one of those posters up, and it was Superman looking very healthy and American, really going. If you could see inside this pathetic man's lungs, and I always, just as a British person, I don't know when it looks like Superman.
Yeah.
I knew a lot of people who look like nicotine. And I used to watch it and I'd go, you know what? I find cigarettes in some way, I'm sympathetic towards them. I rather warm to them. And then I spent over 20 years smoking because of fucking Superman.
Yeah, despite him.
There was a great handbrake turn here. Well, I spotted two handbrake turns this week, so we always look out for these.
Yeah.
And it was a brilliant one off Shazam, because they said...
Now, as we've seen, Shazam is all about a boy who transforms into an adult with amazing superpowers.
Yeah, a bit like the young man that we've got here in the studio. Now, in a flash, he turned from a schoolboy into a successful businessman, and we sent him back to his old school to pass on a few of his own lessons.
Hi, I'm Julia Rayside, and I'd like to invite you aboard my podcast. Always There is the only podcast to navigate through every single episode in order of the 1980s seafaring soap opera, Howard's Way.
I mean, if we're talking lacquer, we need to go back to Polly, who's got 28 cans of Elmet in
Dawn. It was definitely feeling horrible that you hadn't done your homework.
Yeah. Obviously, Lynn is immediately in a bikini. It's a freezing day in, I'm guessing, February.
I was going to say, that swimming pool looks f***ing freezing.
You don't have to love Howard's Way or even remember it. We're going to talk about it anyway, because I think it's brilliant.
Jack still feels very much at sea. I can't help reaching for these puns. I'm so sorry.
No, but it's important.
He doesn't really acknowledge how grave...
What an ocean of trouble.
Thank you.
It is.
This is why we got you on. You're bloody brilliant.
That's all I've got. I'm leaving now.
Available from your usual podcast supplier. Find us on Twitter at AlwaysTherePod.
Somebody's nicked my bloody boat.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Yeah, it was, and they then did the VT, an interview with the most humorless human child that I've ever seen.
I'm gonna come clean with you here. I loathed this boy.
So did I.
I did
and,
as well.
And let me make it clear, he's 19, he's an adult.
Yep.
I loathed the boy, I loathed the actual story.
Yep.
I thought the fact it went out on the BBC without anyone going, well, you seem like a horrible capitalist.
Yeah.
I thought the fact that he is portrayed as being this schoolboy entrepreneur who is clearly bankrolled by his father,
exactly.
Which was never
to his
stated.
Dad, who was basically bowled him.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole thing was clearly his dad's idea.
My name is Brandon Johnson. I'm 19 years old, a serial entrepreneur, and one of the UK's youngest millionaires.
I mean, and they just
you ought to buy that silver bullion, son.
Yeah. Like, how old was he when he bought the silver bullion?
12.
12.
Yeah. It began when I was on a trip to a World War II memorabilia fair with my dad.
I saw a 1 ounce silver bullion coin. It was a Britannia coin from the Royal Mint of England.
I bought it, it was £18. I thought it was very cool. I then Googled its value and saw that it had risen to £30. Although it was only a £12 profit that I made, I saw that it was scalable and started selling in bigger quantities to people all over the world. By the time I was 13, I had made over £10,000 profit.
So like he went, oh yeah, I know what I fancy. Not buying like Transformer toys. 15. I'll buy some silver bullion and then sell it again. Look, no, you fucking won't.
It's one of those things, if you were going, I'm a kid and actually I collect loads of Lego, and I realised I had some Lego figures that people wanted. Yeah. So I put them on eBay, and I realised if I bought more, I could make more money. Yeah. That's what a kid entrepreneur is.
Yeah.
This kid at 15 is importing from America a brand of water repellent, which he's then selling at a 150% markup. Yeah.
From doing research online for new business opportunities, I recognised the gap in the market to import an American water repellent product to sell in the UK. Was making over 150% margin on that, which leads me on to my second life lesson of don't put all of your eggs into one basket.
Right? Although this is normal. This is what 15-year-olds
do. He is not
do.
The child Levi Roots.
No, not at all.
And also, they then showed the film of him talking. He went back to his old school, didn't he?
Yeah.
To annoy the children in there, who clearly hated him as well. But did you notice the interesting amount of cutaways that were clearly shot while he was speaking?
With the lad raising his eyebrows.
Raising the eyebrows was great. Yeah.
Imagine he's just said he's earned £1 million.
Yeah. Whereas all of those kids were thinking, you shit.
Worth saying as well, his school was in Mill Hill. There is one main school in Mill Hill. That is Mill Hill School, one of the country's leading independent schools.
Yeah, you saw him walking into it. I was thinking, that does not look like a comprehensive.
No. Do you know what it looks like? It looks like the American Senate building. And again, how did he manage to create this wonderful sort of amount of money when all he had in his background was one of the world's most expensive schools behind him?
And then there was a little hint as well, because then he moved on to buying cars, didn't he? At least there was an old Porsche and an old Mercedes, I think he was doing.
And they made the poor fucking mechanic, who was probably on £9 an hour, kind of like sand down an old E-Type or whatever
Again,
it was,
paying,
in front of this 19-year-old
paying
kid.
For it to be restored. That is not a thing where I've made the money. You've had the money because you've paid for it to be restored. He said with the second car, the Pagoda, it was bought, and I'm not saying he bought it. It was bought for £19,000.
Yeah.
He said, we had the restoration done. And then he said, but I've looked at it now. It's worth £100,000, and I've decided to keep it.
Cars like this are appreciating in value at about 10% a year.
And since I have had it fully restored, I'm getting the best from my investment and have decided to keep it.
But my dad also loved classic cars.
You've decided to keep a £100,000 car? Well, let's make it clear. This is not business.
No,
is
this is just
there is money there.
Just spending money.
And you are keeping the things that your dad is buying.
The line was, my dad loved classic cars, so this is why I got into it. No, your dad got into it. You're some sort of tax write-off is what you are.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You're and the his, front man.
His dad was Quentin Wilson on stilts.
Wasn't he? And I got to the end, and so this bit where he then says... I'd noticed that some neighbours had sold a plot of land on our road.
Oh, my God.
And I'd looked into how much the developers, the profit that they would make on that.
Yeah.
And I realised that if I built two houses there, that profit essentially could be mine. And so they had two houses, each selling for, I think, £850,000
when they're done.
Yeah. Again, you bought a car for £19,000. It's worth £100,000. Even if we say you're going to sell that, that's £81,000 profit, right? Yeah. Where has the money come from? It's come from your dad. This is nothing to do with you.
I want to see the breadcrumb trail for this £1 million.
Yeah, because £850,000, he said, per house. I'm building two of them, semi-detached. Look, what road do you live in where a semi-detached house is £850,000?
It's his road, isn't it?
It is his road. It's his dad's garden is what it is.
And he then said, by the time I'm 21, I'll have a property portfolio worth £5 million.
Yeah.
No, by the time you're 21, your dad has given you a property portfolio worth £5 million.
I'm going to email him the Wikipedia entry for inheritance tax. He's going to get fucking spanked.
I worked out how much the house would cost to build. I then worked out the developer's profit, saw it was huge, so thought, why can I not do that? That was a year and a half ago now, and we're building two semi-detached houses.
This is only the start. If everything goes according to plan, in the next 12 months, we should have another 6 houses being built, which would mean by the time I'm 21, I have a property portfolio of over £5 million.
And then the little cunt, he said, they said, what do you want? You know, what would you like? You know, what would be your big achievement? And he said, I'd like to build a skyscraper and leave my footprint on the London skyline.
Yeah, I know where I'd like to leave my footprint.
I mean, we all probably wrote, I mean, the words I used were posh, little, annoying fucker. I did write, what a cunt.
Yeah.
I think we all probably wrote the same
thing. Do you know the thing that pushed me over?
I just wrote, I hate him.
I hate, do you know what? I don't know who he is.
No.
I've seen him on television and he didn't really win me over. No. I don't care about him. Everything he represented made me feel physically sick.
Yeah.
When it cut back to the studio and everyone's applauding this child being the front for his father's business thing, and in some way that's cute and admirable.
On primetime BBC One!
And wearing a fucking t-shirt that says disorder on it.
What was that about? What was that about?
Right, are your accounts disordered?
Was it?
No! No!
And he also did this, and I hate picking on kids. Well, actually, that's a lie.
He's 19. He is 19.
He's not a kid. He does this, go back and watch it. And really annoying twitch in his eyebrow, where it was came across extraordinarily patronising. Where it's kind of like, you're talking to you, and he'd be like, yeah. Where it's kind of like, as if to say, yeah, you like a piece of that. Yeah.
Maybe the cutaway to the kid.
You'd like that.
The kid with the raised eyebrow. The kid was just taking the piss out of him.
Exactly.
That might have been what was going on.
Oh,
he was awful. Dear. Do you know what he reminded me of? You mentioned Wogan. He a little bit reminded me of that annoying antiques child that was on an episode of Wogan.
Are you referring to
Lauren Harris?
To my sweetheart, Lauren Harris.
Yeah, who transitioned later on.
Yeah.
But when he then was on Wogan.
James,
James Harris.
Yeah, James Harris.
Time,
yeah.
Was that annoying? That was annoying.
Yeah.
It was the same sort of television.
Brattish. And exactly the same same kind of history as well.
In a weird way.
Being forced into a path by
an overbearing. It was antiques, wasn't it? Yeah.
Let's meet this infant phenomenon, young James Harris.
Antiques always should have wear and tear, and they always used to have, they always should look old, and they always should talk to me.
In a weird way as well, you watch that original bit of Wogan back and you go, gosh, that was horrible, because all the audience are laughing at James Harries, who's been put in that position by a cynical media.
Yeah.
In this one, we were seeing a horrible venture capitalist at 19 who hadn't earned any of this, being applauded and treated like, you know, you are a special person. And both sort of advances are wrong. And they're sitting there with the adults and, you know, Zachary, the guy who plays Shazam.
Zachary Levi then talks about his 75-acre ranch that he's bought in Texas.
I mean, massive.
But also, then not for any philanthropic kind of reasons.
No.
Just kind of like, yeah, I want to invest. It's 30 miles outside town, but God, it's going to be worth a fortune.
Well, Zach, you've bought a bit of land, about 75 acres, haven't you?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, all right. So maybe this is the guy to give you some tips.
I'll be hitting you up on Instagram like, hey, man, welcome to build a skyscraper in Texas.
What are you thinking? What would be the best thing, Brandon, for Zachary to do, maybe, with, 75 acres?
Wait. Let me take notes. Hold on. Here we go. All right.
Hand it straight over. I'll deal with it for you.
And it's like, what the fuck is going on?
And, you know, Alex is like to this kid going, oh, you want to get a piece of that? And he's like, yes.
Yeah, just with the straightest face, just went, well, hand it over to me.
Yeah.
He's like, well, you mean your dad. But okay, fine. Yeah.
Oh. But it served... No, but I didn't know what it was promoting. I didn't know what it was kind of supposed to be encouraging. And that was the same for almost every single VT I watched in these shows.
Yeah.
There was one which was basically an advert for the University of Warwick's amplification department.
That's
whatever
right,
that was. £5,000 headphones.
Yeah.
Which was like, what are you doing?
At the University of Warwick, Dr. Duncan Bilson is demonstrating just how basic the tech can be.
And this is simply a coil that I wrap around my fingers, sellotaped to a sheet of plastic, which you take a magnet, apply the magnet to, and you get sound out of it.
So that's a speaker.
It was a classic week, and as regular watchers of this, we know it was a classic week of off-the-shelf films.
Yeah.
So what our theory is, Jamie, is that they've got a shelf full of these VTs that are non-time specific.
Yeah.
So whether they can... they've got a database, so they can sometimes tenuously link them to the guest.
And they do.
And they do. Or they just randomly go to them because they've got to use them up in a certain amount of time. So that's why you get these, the Warwick...
But that is why the one show exists, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just to use up stuff.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Whether
it's
that's people
time.
Or
angry faces in Birmingham, directional speakers in Coventry.
Angry people in Birmingham when no one was angry.
No.
That was a weird... this was Matt Allwright's... It was about somewhere you can pay money to go and smash up computers in a warehouse.
Yeah.
With
but you weren't told
gear.
Where, you weren't told
no.
how.
No, and that to me seemed like the crux of the film, that you'd build up to that bit. It was called Let It All Out, that you'd say... people are angrier. Let's talk to people in Birmingham. They go, I'm furious. And you go, well, I'm going to take five of you to a place where you can get that anger out.
Seven bells of shit out of that dell.
Yeah, and you go in and there's stuff around and you smash it up.
I am not by nature an angry person. I'm pretty zen, in fact. But if someone places you in a room with a pickaxe handle and a computer monitor, what are you going to do? Oh, yeah.
Let's not get into whether that seems like something from fucking 2000 AD. Yeah. But, you know, that seemed to be the way round that film should have gone.
Instead, that's the narrative.
They start with the exciting bit. Matt Allwright smashing Adele. And then he goes, I've gone to speak to the people of Birmingham to find out if they're angry. The answer is no.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, but then he just kept... show me your angry face, he kept saying to them. Show me your angry face. And these people just... You know, you can't really pull an angry face.
Everything in that VT should not have made it through the edit.
No. No, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Describe the
one shot. It's almost like they played the wrong bit because everyone's reaction was the one that you cut out. It was like, shows your angry face. and I felt for Matt because he's a pro.
Yeah.
If anyone can get a random expression out of a member of the public, it's him.
Yeah.
Maybe it was because he wasn't on the back of a motorbike. Or so. I don't know why he'd lost his kind of Samson-esque kind of powers. But everything in there was lackluster.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It was absolutely. Kind
of like you would have just, if this was done for a commercial broadcaster, they'd have gone, fuck it. That is shit.
You should have kept going until you got the reaction that we wanted them to get.
But it also stank of padding out because you don't need the faces of the angry people. As you said, the computer thing was the mildly interesting part of that film.
Yeah.
And the guy asked, who was a bit of a character, wasn't he? What do you get angry about? And he said Kardashians.
Yeah.
In a very camp way.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and then they obviously thought, oh, hang on a minute. He's
we've got a live one here.
He's endearing. Yeah. Look at him saying, oh, Kardashians.
So, how angry are the people of Birmingham?
What was the last thing that made you angry?
Pop culture annoys me. The Kardashians annoy me.
And then he got angry about chicken and sweet corn sandwiches.
Yeah.
And you could see the look of disappointment on Matt's face, but he just kept going with it.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, I've got nothing now.
They didn't have my favourite sandwich in Tesco.
What is your favourite sandwich?
I like chicken and sweet corn.
That's interesting, because that wouldn't make me angry.
No, I see. It made me angry.
I'd just move on to tuna.
Cut at the chicken and sweet corn.
Let us make our own mind up about that. But then they extended this anger thing back into the studio, didn't they? Because they had this was Monday. So they got Jessica Hines and Anita Dobson and by now Paul Mayhew Archer, writer and producer.
Holy shit.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that. But the button, then they got buttons, like the buttons on QI that you hit that they wired up to make a noise.
Yeah.
And then they gave them a series of scenarios to see how angry it makes them.
Yeah.
But every scenario was just medium.
That's what annoys the people of Birmingham. How about our guests? Now, we've got some buttons here, OK? And we are calling it the scale of annoyance. So have a go. Press them. See? Go on. So this starts off, not bothered. Yeah. And then we're really angry at the end then.
We're going to go straight in, Jessica, with eating too loudly. We've gone with it.
Me too. Yeah.
There was no polarising. There was kind of like, oh, God, fucking Brexit. it was all kind of like, you know,
being cut up on the motorway.
Yeah, it's like, everyone's just kind of like,
eating loudly.
It's like, no, not really.
And then people just, but there was a good burn here from Matt, which tied in with the beginning of the programme when Alex Jones's phone went off.
And as ever, we are all over the UK tonight, aren't we? We're going to be starting up in the very northwest.
Oh, sorry, my phone just went off. Let me turn it off.
Well, that'll be all those wonderful people in the Outer Hebrides saying, is our film on? It is.
Sorry.
It's probably Fiona McKenzie. Actually.
Well, it is.
Her mobile went off during the broadcast.
Yeah.
But it went off. So then they made a thing of it. Then he... What did he say at the beginning?
He was cross. Let's make that clear.
He made a cross face. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that's it.
And then he refs it right at the end again.
During this, about things that annoy you. And he went, perhaps when you leave your phone on during a live broadcast.
Anyway, how about people who leave the phone on during a live broadcast? Anyway, that's all we've got.
Oh, Matt! Yeah, you've harboured that grudge for half an hour.
Yeah, now that is a fucking callback. Mic drop. You know, probably leave the fucking mic on, won't you?
How do you sleep at night, Alex?
Well, that then... got us into the... when her phone went off, got us into the Crofters... Hebrides film.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Again, it's these guys. I mean, nothing. I mean, the lady that presented it was great.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we're all jobbers. We're all hustlers. We would all do one of those because it's 500 quid and it's a day out.
Yeah.
You've never been before.
Yeah.
You know, you get Carrie from fucking Fame Academy walking around Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
for a day.
It was Aylesbury.
Everyone has a lovely day.
Yeah.
And serves no purpose and everyone goes home.
And so that brings us to the close of part one of this week's The One Show. Part two will be wherever you get your podcasts tomorrow. Or we might leave it in a hedge like where you used to find porn. It will pick up exactly where this one left off, which, as ever, will be mildly confusing for around a minute. But if you've another minute to rate and review this podcast, wherever it is that you do that, then that would be lovely. Perhaps we'll get above number 200 in an obscure chart in the outer reaches of an iTunes algorithm. GreatBigOwl.com.
Hello, I'm Jack Beaumont and this is Crime Club, the podcast where I talk to people who have done terrible, terrible things, either immoral or illegal, ideally both. Oh,
fucking hell, mate.
That's Crime Club.
Oi, oi, oi.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.